Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
But it's about to get better as we roll out the Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio. It is Tuesday, right? I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, hey, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, those blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so you can look for a brand new one popping up there tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, find that link and click on over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you give that a like, that would be really cool, Dan, and I appreciate when you do that kind of stuff for us. Of course, don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
So, now, Dan and I were talking a little bit off air, but, yeah, you know, last night, Dan, I was just kind of flipping around, catching up on baseball highlights, and I realized that pretty early on, I hit two dingers. And I was like, oh, wow. You know, and now two home runs is the most I've ever hit in the FanDuel contest. And it was very early in the night. I don't think the games were even past like the fourth or fifth inning. And I'm like, holy crap, I actually have the opportunity to maybe do something tonight. So I did something I never do. Before I went to bed, I hopped on real quick and I checked it, just to see, you know, where I was standing and how things were and if I had picked up a third home run. Well, I was still sitting at two home runs, and the guys at the time who were leading had four. I believe you said it took five to win. I never hit another one. Yeah. So while I did get my personal, you know, I tied my personal best of two, I was quite excited. I thought maybe I had a shot there, Dan, and yeah, I wasn't anywhere freaking close.
I don't know if you read my tweet when you got up last, you know, sometime in the middle of the night or yesterday or this morning, when I jokingly said that I needed Matt Adams to hit at least four home runs to get me in, because at the time I checked, five was leading, and I was pleasantly surprised to see he hit half. So he hit two more, or, you know, he hit two last night, but I still only topped out at three.
So, yeah, I just, you know, I don't know. And then, you know, you mentioned Matt Adams, and, you know, like I warned you people last night, I'm going to ruin it for you now forever, because Bryce Harper did not homer, and he will not homer tonight because he is back in my lineup again. I also have Mike Trout because the Angels are playing. So you can take your two big-time superstars and just get them out of your lineup right now, because they're done. I am going to continually put them in my lineup as long as there is a FanDuel Home Run Derby and they are available. I am plugging these two chumps into my lineup forever. So you guys can just eat it. That's just how it is. Right now I'm just vindictive, Dan. I don't care.
Yeah, well, I added them also. So maybe it'll be a reverse psychology thing.
You know, that's the bottom line. And then just so everybody knows, my third guy today is Justin Bour. Dan and I were talking, obviously, pre-show. The Cubs brought up a pitcher in AAA from AAA who had an ERA of 8 at Iowa. So I'm assuming I needed a Marlin in my lineup, so I decided to go with Justin Bour. And hopefully he'll hit, you know, he'll go six bombs.
Wait, this guy's starting, being as used out with the flu?
The Cubs needed a reason to put Yu Darvish on the DL, so they made up the fact that he had the flu. That's the biggest crock of you-know-what since they put Lester on the DL last year with whatever injury they made up. I don't understand how baseball hasn't investigated or fined them yet for this kind of BS, because, you know, stuff like this is clearly against the rules. But yeah, they have called up Zheng Ho Seng. If you remember him, I believe he had a very short stint with the Cubs last year. Let me bing him here, Dan, and we can see what his stats are. But I believe he was quite the embarrassment last year. Stu did qualify him wrong for me. He said he was Japanese. He's actually Taiwanese. So we've got to kind of teach Stu the difference there. He's made 6 starts at Iowa, Dan, covering 31 and a third innings. This is this year. He's 0-4, and his ERA is 8.04. So you got to be excited to look forward to that start tonight. Hopefully the wind isn't blowing. Well, hopefully it is because I have Justin Bohr, but, you know. He did get a win for the Cubs last year, Dan. He started a game, appeared in one other, only pitched in six innings. But his ERA here in his short little visit was 7.50. So he's definitely on a roll. On the plus side, he had a hit at Iowa as a pitcher, so maybe he'll bring the bat tonight. I don't know. But yeah, and then if you didn't see this also, Dan, Jason Hayward is on the concussion DL. I don't know how he got the concussion because I don't think that ball hit him in the face when he lost it in the lights the other night, but that's neither here or there. So yeah, the Cubs not only lose Yu Darvish with some fake made-up flu stuff, they lose Jason Hayward with what appears to be a legitimate concussion here. So we'll have to monitor to see if baseball does anything about this BS they're pulling again. But, you know, this Dan, this is the first time I've ever heard of somebody go on the DL with the flu. You know, leave it to the Cubs. I'm sure that was probably Joe Madden's idea, going, yeah, we'll just say he's got the flu, and we'll put him on the DL. So, you know, you wonder what Jed Hoyer contributed, Dan? Maybe this is what he contributes. He makes up the injuries. So, you know, that was, I read that this morning and I heard this afternoon or whatever. I don't even remember my days just running together. And I was just like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. The flu, give me a break. But I know we sidetracked on the Cubs, Dan. I don't know how we got off on this track, Dan, because you have to know that there's a 3-game series starting tonight, that it's the only thing that matters in baseball. So we definitely have to spend the rest of the hour breaking this one down. I don't even know how you let me get sidetracked or take so long to even get to it. You know, they open up tonight. It's the MLB Network showcase game, Dan. The good old Red Sox are at the Yankees. They're starting in about 20-25 minutes. Drew Pomerantz against Luis Severino are the starters tonight. Let me see if I can find the rest of the matchups here. They'll move over to the Mickey Mouse Network tomorrow. Rick Porcello is moving up a day because David Price has some fake injury because the Red Sox don't want to pitch him against the Yankees. So he's coming up a day, and he'll face Masahiro Tanaka. And then they wrap up. They go back to the MLB Network to wrap the series up Thursday night, and this one you get Eduardo Rodriguez against your guy CC Sabathia. You know, Dan, I know these are your favorite series in baseball, so you want to break tonight's game down for us and let us know how Pomerantz and Severino are going to do.
There's either going to be a lot of strikeouts or a lot of home runs.
Yeah, that's like we can say that about everything. Can't we? That's like every game in Major League Baseball since they invented launch angle. So, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, if Judge hits one out, you know, it'll be a Judge Ian blast, all rise.
Yeah. And if I can throw the lineups at you. Yeah, I found the lineups for you, Dan. I can throw them at you. Mookie Betts is leading off in right field for the Red Sox. Andrew Benintendi's second. He plays left field. Hanley Ramirez hits third. He's at first base. J.D. Martinez, the DH. He'll clean up. Your guy Xander Bogaerts hitting fifth at short. Rafael Devers is sixth at third. Eduardo Nunez is seventh at second base. Jackie Bradley's in center hitting eighth. And the Red Sox lineup wraps up tonight with Christian Vasquez hitting ninth and doing the catching. Pretty much the regular lineup for the Yankees as well. Brett Gardner leads off in left. Aaron Judge bats second and right. Dan's other guy, Didi, hits third and plays shortstop. That's Didi Gregorius. Giancarlo Stanton hits fourth. He's the DH. Gary Sanchez is fifth as the catcher. Aaron Hicks is sixth in center field. Miguel Andujar is seventh at third base. Tyler Austin's in at first base tonight, hitting eighth. And Gleyber Torres hits ninth for the Yankees and plays second base. So there you go.
I mean, so you'll be watching this, though, right?
Well, you know, when we get done, there won't be anything on right away, so I'll probably catch a little of it. I think the advantage is, being that it's an MLB Network showcase, I won't get the Yankees side of the broadcast. It'll be Bob Costas and whoever they put him with. If they put him with Jim Cott or John Smoltz or whatever other guy he's working with there for the day. So that'll be the one positive I'll have going for me. But not to be outdone, Dan, here's the remainder, not that it matters, but here's the remainder of baseball's lineup today. The Royals are at the Orioles, Danny Duffy, and hey, your guy Dylan Bundy's making a start tonight. The Giants are at the Phillies, trying to bounce back from that embarrassment last night. Derek Holland and Aaron Nola start there. The Mariners are at the Blue Jays. It's James Paxton and Marcus Stroman on the mound. The Mets at the Reds. It's Jason Vargas and Luis Castillo, getting the start there. The Braves are at the Rays. It's Sean Newcomb and Blake Snell as the listed starters. The Indians are at the Brewers. Corey Kluber for the Indians, and Dan's guy Wade Miley making his second start for the Brewers. He was really good the first time out. We'll have to see if that continues. The Tigers are at the Rangers. It's Mike Fiers and Mike Minor getting starts there. The Marlins are in Chicago, another team looking to bounce back from an embarrassment last night. Jose Urania gets the start for the Marlins. The Cubs called up Jen Ho Sang in his 8 ERA to take the hill tonight, so that'll be interesting. The Pirates are here in Chicago to take on the White Sox. It's Ivan Nova against Lucas Giolito. The Angels are at the Rockies. We got Andrew Heaney against John Gray. The Astros at the A's. Lance McCullers Jr. against Sean Manna. The Diamondbacks are at the Dodgers. Zach Godley for Arizona. And Rich Hill comes off the DL to get the start for the Dodgers tonight. They need some healthy pitching, so hopefully he'll do something. And the night wraps up with the Nationals at the Padres. We get Jeremy Hellickson and Clayton Richards making the starts there. We did have one final so far, Dan. The Twins got by the Cardinals today, 7-1. Jake Odorizzi picked up the win there, and Carlos Martinez took the loss. Not a good outing for Carlos. He was a guy I actually looked at for FanDuel tonight, but it was an early game, so I couldn't get him, and that's probably a good thing. Not that that bodes well for the rest of my lineup tonight, but if you have Odorizzi, and I actually have him in one of our leagues, he worked 5 innings, so he didn't get the quality start. 2 hits, 1 run, 2 walks, 3 Ks, gave up a home run. Another guy who was hooked before 100 pitches, even though he looked like he was throwing pretty well. Martinez took the loss, went 5, 4 hits, 4 runs, but only 2 of the runs were earned. Did walk 3 and only struck out 2. So not a great ratio there. If you had Cardinals in your lineup, you probably didn't get anything out of them because they only had 2 hits, unless you have Jose Martinez, who hit a solo home run for their lone run. Eduardo Escobar and Eddie Rosario were the only Twins with multiple hits today. They each had 2. Robbie Grossman and Max Kepler each had a double, and one of Escobar's hits was a home run. So that's about, even though the Twins scored 7 runs, they only had 10 hits, so you're not going to get huge fantasy numbers out of really anybody but Escobar and Rosario, because Rosario did score 3 runs. Hopefully you had the right guys in and it worked out for you. Did you have the right guys in, Dan?
I didn't play an early one if there was one.
Oh, I don't think there was one. Normally when there's one game, they don't plug in an all day one, but who knows? So, but I did see, and I have to look this up here, Dan, but I believe, I saw an announcement that the Mets have traded Matt Harvey. I thought I saw that he went to the Reds. Here we go. Just a minute ago, I binged it. Matt Harvey trade, and it came up on Yahoo Sports a minute ago. It says the Mets traded the trouble pitcher to the Cincinnati Reds on Tuesday afternoon. In return, the Mets will receive Devin Mesorosco, the catcher who's been off injured. And then to get Mesorosco on their 40-man roster, the Mets put Todd Frazier on the 10-day DL, and they moved Anthony Swarbeck from the 10-day DL to the 60-day DL. So there you go.
Oh, it's all about making moves, right? That'll be, you know, Mesorosco's been a guy who's supposed to, you know, just never really reached that potential he was supposed to.
Just can't stay healthy. So, you know, I mean, he was, I'm trying to remember what year it was. He was a big-time power guy. Let me see if I can find it. Oh, yeah, here you go, Dan. Way back in 2014, he had 25 home runs. Since that, here's his gameplay since then. 2015, he played 23 games. 2016, he played 16 games. Last year, he played 56 games. So, yeah, talk about a guy who can't stay healthy. He's kind of the definition of it. He's appeared in 18 games for the Reds this year. He's only hitting 220, but to be fair, his career average is only 234. So he's not that far off. He's got one homer and some RBIs, but the Mets need some help at catching. You know, they've been running with Jose Lobatone and Tomas Nito, neither of who are real offensive threats behind the dish. So, it should be a good fit, and I believe I thought Mesorosco was left-handed, but it says here he's right-handed. So maybe he'll be the righty catcher and Lobatone will hit lefty because he's a switch hitter. I don't know, but that's the deal. You like Harvey going to a ballpark where it's quite easy to give up a home run?
Oh, maybe he'll become a ground ball pitcher.
it's kind of an interesting scenario here. You know, I mean, he's not overpowering anymore. You know, I mean, at one point in time when he was actually, you know, the Dark Knight, as they used to call him, you know, he had some overpowering stuff that no longer exists. I don't know if the injuries are taking his toll or, you know, maybe he's regaining strength. I guess a team like the Reds could always use a veteran starter, but does this mean anything at all to you? I mean, you know, they're 8-27. I think they're tied with Baltimore for the worst record in baseball. It's not really exciting, right?
No, it's not changing anything for them. You know, I think they get to unload a guy that they may not have been able to. And then, you know, when it doesn't work out with Harvey, they could just let him go, can't they?
Yeah, he's a free agent at the end of the season. So yeah, they can just let him walk if they choose to. So, it looks like Mesorosco is in the last year of his deal as well. But I believe, is he making more than Harvey? I don't know off the top of my head what. Mesorosco's actually due $13.125 million this season. So, yeah, I believe that's a little more than what Matt Harvey is making this year. So,
well, Harvey only takes like five.
I want to double-check it. For some reason, I was thinking eight, but you might be right. I want to get a – because I know we talked about it the other day. Oh, no, you were right. $5.625 million. So, you know, the Reds, I mean, you know, they didn't say anything about anybody picking up any money. in the deal. So, you know, maybe the Reds are saving some money as well.
Well, and if Mazzaraco can actually play for the Mets, I think it'll be good for them.
Yeah, you know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, if or how they can work it out again. You know, I mean, well, like I said, at one time he was a big power guy. So I don't know if we'll see anything like or...
You know, it seemed like that year that they had the All-Star game, that whole team was just on fire. And then everyone left, and then they never reached what they did then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know, definitely a, you know, yeah, I wish I knew, you know, I wish we could kind of look and see, you know, what, how guys were going to do or, you know, how it would work out. But yeah, you know, like you said, it's basically just a dump of guys, right? I mean,
for both teams,
you know, the Reds are getting rid of, you know, a contract that they didn't want. And, you know, they're basically taking on the Mets problem child because, you know, he kind of went ape crazy there and wouldn't take his minor league assignment. So,
well, and playing for the Reds is a step, half a step above playing for the minors.
Yeah, I mean, is that triple A and a half? Is that how we look at it?
Yeah.
So,
because I don't even think they're playing quite quadruple A ball.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know, you know, how else to look at it, but yeah, you know, that would be the idea behind it there. So we'll have to see. But you know, interestingly, Dan, and I'm hoping you don't have this guy on any of your teams, but Roberto Osuna, who is the Blue Jays closer, managed to get himself arrested last night. He is charged with, it says here, domestic assault of his girlfriend. Now, baseball has a policy, unlike any other sport, that when this happens, Osuna was immediately placed on administrative leave by the commissioner's office. You know, it's not this BS where, you know, you have to go in front of a hearing or anything. Baseball has a really good policy with the players' union. When this happens, you know, here you go, you're out until we figure out what's going on. You know, they don't go into too much detail here. The article even uses the word scant to describe it. Details are scant at this point. So somebody must have had their thesaurus out when they were writing this thing up. But, you know, they've been a bit of a surprise this year. And, you know, obviously he's kind of a key for them. You know, who knows how long he'll be gone now. How big of a loss is this?
I would say it's pretty big. I mean, he was the guy I was looking at for the player of the week last week with, you know, what took me away from him was the low strikeout rate. But he's putting together a nice little season for them so far, but that might all be lost.
So yeah, he's picked up nine saves. He's got a 2.93 ERA. So you know, we'll have to kind of keep an eye on this and see how it goes. But you know, Toronto's 19-16, so they're off to a little better start than, you know, I think a lot of people expected. You know, if they were in any other division, we may be talking about them a little more as a contender. It's just the fact that they're behind two teams that have the two best records in baseball currently. So, you know, a bit of a struggle there. I guess now, Dan, the fact that the Blue Jays took a chance on Senwan Oh in the offseason looks good now because they can at least plug him in a closer. You know, and he has experience.
Yeah, Yeah, I was going to say, you know, once you mentioned his name, I totally forgot he was up there because, like you said, being in the division that they're in, we're not going to hear a whole lot about them. But, I mean, that's, you know, he's older, but depending on how this plays out, this could be the perfect situation for them, having at least a guy with experience.
Yeah, you know, and they've had really, and I mean really good luck with their bullpen so far. When you look at their numbers, you know, Tyler Clipper was a former closer. He seems to be the guy, you know, there's always that one guy, one relief pitcher every year, Dan, that just falls into all these wins. Right now that's Tyler Clipper. He's 4-0 with a 1.47 ERA. They also got John Axford hanging around in their bullpen, who was a longtime closer. He's appeared in 14 games, and his ERA is 1.65. The only reliever who looks like he's having issues is Aaron Loop, who's appeared in 14 games, has an ERA of 4.97. You know, the other ERAs, the other two guys, one guy's at 2.70, and the other guy's at 2.57. So their bullpen has really been lights out for them. And when you look at their starters' numbers, you can see that's why it is where they are. You know, they only have one starter with an ERA under 4.
I mean, I was looking, I think Marcus Stroman was at a 6+.
Yeah, he's now it's over 7 now. He's 7.52 because he had a bad outing his last time out. So, you know, now, you know, he's that guy, Dan, you know, Stroman, and this is interesting because I was going to run this by Mr. Fantasy. God forbid I could talk to him any other time than 2 hours we do the Sunday podcast. Would you be willing as a fantasy owner to make a deal on Stroman and try to scoop him up low? Because, you know, he's always been looked upon as a guy that's an ace. And, you know, I mean, he's only 27. He's only made 6 starts, so you figure he's got 20 to 25 more starts in him this year. Is he worth a buy if you can kind of get him on a steal?
I think so. I think if you can get him on a steal, I mean, the way they're playing right now, I mean, it's one of those where, you know, the rest of the team is picking it up. So, you know, they could bounce back. I mean, of course, it could backfire, but then again, I thought drafting Clayton Kershaw was a for sure pick, and hasn't really turned out that way now that he's on the DL also. But I think it would be a solid pick if you're able to get him low. I mean, obviously you'd have to kind of judge who you're giving up for that, but I don't think you'd be giving up much other than maybe trying to help another guy fill a spot, right?
You would think, because, like, you know, you're looking, I mean, here's a guy last year was 13-9 with a 3.09 ERA. So, I would think he's, you know, or at least you would hope he's a little closer to that guy than he is, you know, the guy he is this year. I mean, it's just been a fiasco for him for whatever reason. And, you know, I mean, now, you know, he's not the only Blue Jay our starter, I should say, that's kind of in the weeds this year. You know, there's a few of them I mentioned. You know, J.A. Hopp is the only guy with an ERA. You know, he's 3.67, but, you know, Aaron Sanchez's ERA is 4.14, Marco Estrada is 5.21, and Jaime Garcia is 6.60. So they're definitely hurting in the starter category.
Way the ball bounces, right? With the Blue Jays.
It just works like that?
It was the wrong sport. I really couldn't think of an analogy that goes with baseball. how the grass grows? I don't know. But, you know, I think that's one of the reasons the Blue Jays probably don't get as many looks as you might think they would with the record they have going right now, is because the pitching really isn't all that. But, you know, I think we talked about that the other day with the Red Sox. It's pretty much Chris Sale, and you're hoping everybody else can just keep up with him. Or not keep up with him, but you're hoping the rest, you know, Mookie Betts is hitting 2 or 3 home runs every game when Chris Sale isn't pitching.
Yeah. You know, you're hoping David Price just shows up, and now he's not even going to do that tomorrow. So, you know, there you go. But yeah, I don't know. You know, you wonder. You know, I guess I don't want to judge too harshly on the Ozuna situation because we don't know anything about it. But you know, you would think by now these guys would be smarter by now, wouldn't you think that?
I mean, I know they're coming from not from this country and things are a little bit different from where they're from, but at the same token, everybody has the internet, right? Especially guys in Major League Baseball making millions of dollars. I'm assuming they have smartphones because a lot of them, you know, have social media accounts. So you would think with the world today, and especially over the last couple of years, I mean, you know, especially with football, but you know, even if these guys don't follow football all that much, you know, there's been a handful of baseball guys, you know, Chapman, one of the biggest ones, I think, but then Jose Reyes had his issues. So I'm just kind of surprised that this continues to happen, especially on a level with, you know, professional athletes.
Yeah, you would think, I mean, there would be an agent or a friend or a handler or somebody who could step in, but it seems to be happening. But all right, Dan, how about some good baseball news? Instead of guys who are going on the DL, let's get some guys coming off the DL. Adrian Beltre is going to return for the Rangers tonight. He's actually in the starting lineup. So he is back. The Orioles are also activating Jonathan Scope. So we will get to see him. You know, now we did mention that Hayward is going on the 7-day DL. David Bodie is coming back for the Cubs, and I didn't know when he got hurt. They're saying when he tried to catch the Dexter Fowler home run late in that 14th inning is when he injured it. And I wanted to bring this up because I know you love when the Cubs do this. Joe Maddon has told reporters that Chris Bryant will see some time in right field while Hayward is sidelined.
But that's like a vacation for him.
Dan is speechless when Chris Bryant plays right field. That's what happens. So, but yeah, I know how much you love when Chris Bryant gets to go play the outfield. So I had to throw that at you. And I am trying to figure out, Mr. Fantasy and I drafted Brandon Drury as one of our bench players because it made sense at the time. And now I'm wondering, Dan, if he's just a guy that I need to cut and come up with somebody else because he's still having issues with the migraines and the vision problems. And with the way that like Miguel Andujar and Gleyber Torres are playing, even if he comes back right now, is he anything more than a backup?
No, I mean, Gleyber's been playing fairly well. And, you know, with the Yankees lineup, I mean, this kid's batting in the nine hole. But, you know, as long as the guys in front of him keep hitting, everyone will continue to get more at-bats because the more hits you get, despite the order of your position or your batting order, you still get extra at bats. That's a crazy concept, isn't it?
Yeah, it's weird how that works out, isn't it? How things kind of go there. But I've been trying to follow it and look and see what's going on. And yeah, you know, the more I think about it, it's just kind of getting to the point where we're probably just going to end up dropping him. And I doubt anybody would pick him up. So if I want to go back and get him, or if Mr. Fantasy wants to go back and get him, we could easily just grab him again. It probably wouldn't even be a big issue. But
he said Brandon Drury.
I just don't know if there's playing time for him there now.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so. And I thought he was an Oakland A. So I had the wrong guy.
No, well, he was a Diamond. He was a Diamondback.
Oh, there we go.
And then they shipped him. Then they shipped him to the Yankees this offseason. So
I knew it was.
You know, they brought him in. You know, he was gonna be their starter at third base. You know, that was the original plan. And he did pretty well. He got out of the gate pretty well. But then I don't know. if something triggered it or what, but he ended up getting a migraine and he started having vision problems, and they put him on the DL. And, you know, oddly, the first name that came to mind was Mike Ault. Remember all those issues?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So
I forget who he was supposed
to
be. Blah, 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 but he never even got to be the...
He was the next Ron Santo, I think, for the Cubs when they got him in trade. But, yeah, you know, sad. You know, injuries can do that to you. They just kind of wipe you out. And, but yeah, you know, like I said, I mean, Andujar and Torres are playing so well. I mean, I don't understand why you would want to take at bats away from them. I mean, I know they're going to need days off here and there. But, you know, you're also looking at a team that has, you know, Neil Walker on the bench now because Tyler Austin's tearing it up first base. So, yeah. You know, and then they have Ronald Torres, who's been with the team for a long time. You know, he's been with that Yankee club for 3 or 4 years now as their utility guy. You know, and I know they're saying, well, you know, Drury can play second, third, the corner outfield position, but I don't see Judge getting too many days off. And, you know, same with Brett Gardner, unless you get a tough lefty out there. You know, and then you have other outfielders to plug in there if, you know, instead of plugging in an infielder. But, you know, those are those tough decisions we have to make, and that may be one of them. I may have to send him back, even though I like the guy. I thought he was in for a pretty good season.
Yeah, now I've got a question for you. You know, you mentioned, I forget who it was that said it, but that the Cubs had way too many, you know, position players. And, you know, are the Yankees kind of in that situation right now?
You know, I think they're getting there because I don't believe they were expecting to have to use Andujar and Torres so early in the season. You know, I think they had kind of hoped that, you know, they could wait and it would be later, you know, around the All-Star break and they wouldn't have this issue. And, you know, I do actually wonder if the Yankees would go back, if they would even make the Drury trade or sign Neil Walker at this point. You know, and just go right from the bat with Andujar and Torres, you know, out of the gate. That would be an interesting thing if, you know, they would ever admit to that. But,
well, I mean,
yeah, they're slowly running into a spot that's going to be tough to get at bats.
Yeah, well, and, you know, it wasn't – I understood the whole thing last year, not bringing up Torres and blah, blah, blah. We don't have to revisit that stuff again. I didn't understand what the need was of keeping him down another year this year. Or, you know, what the thought process behind that was. I mean,
he did struggle in spring training. He wasn't very good. So, you know, maybe it was the best thing, but I mean, he's here now and he's killing it. So.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I mean. It just seemed like, you know, more or less, what was the point? I think, regardless of how your spring training went, I mean, you know, what's his name? Ohtani had probably one of the worst spring trainings in the history of baseball.
Yeah, you know, but I guess you look at it, is it better to send the kid down for a month or 2 weeks and have him come back hot? Or, you know, it's a lot of what-ifs, because what if you keep him here and he continues to struggle? You know, I mean, then how long does it take him to recover? And you had the veteran guys to cover the positions. So, you know, it's not like it was a huge risk for them.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like they were running you or I out there to fill in while, you know, while he was in the minors. So, you know, well, you know, but yeah, luckily for them, it worked out. We'll just have to see how they kind of juggle it. But yeah, at this point, you got to wonder if Drury even comes back. You know, he may be done for the year. So we'll have to watch that. But it should be time for Dan to go make his pickup here. So while he is at that, I will throw my FanDuel. Oh, what? No pickup?
No, I had to stop and get gas and parking tickets. So I've got about another 7 minutes. So
my alarm went off. My alarm went off because it's 10 after. So, you know.
Yeah,
you're doing this on purpose, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm pulling a Mr. Fantasy. Well, I had the orange light on this morning driving. So I had to stop and get gas. But
okay.
Before we go to the break time and you give us your lineups, which I did throw two together, but obviously I'm not able to access that. So, and plus I never win. So, I was wondering. I don't know if you. You got my tweet last night. I was hoping and wondering if you stood up a little extra later last night, seeing as the Penguins and the Capitals went into overtime and the Capitals pulled it off. It was only the third time, third time the charm, as they say. It was pretty damn exciting to, I pretty much really tuned in. I had the game on from once I got home, but really didn't, was able to sit down and watch the third period. And then the overtime. And I mean, it was an exciting game, I think, for anyone who's a hockey fan. But if you're a fan of more so the Capitals, I think it was, it was just due, as they say, with the Capitals losing the last 2 years in a row to Pittsburgh to go to the conference finals. Or regardless, I don't even know where they were matched up, but they've yet to beat the Penguins and they did it. So. It'll be very interesting because I forget, did the Lightning win? I just totally blanked on that series, the Lightning and the Bruins.
Yes. It will be the Capitals and the Lightning in the Eastern Conference Finals.
There's always a series or two that I just completely blank on, and that was the one. I had them on, but I really wasn't, following it as much as the Capitals, Penguins, and then course Vegas and then the Predators, with family down in Nashville and having been to a Preds game, there's a little bit of connection there. Fun town, fun place to go see a hockey game, and if you're into country music and drinking beer, I guess it's a great place too. I don't do either, so the one thing I find hilarious is between every single intermission when they go back to the studio, the one guy, and I always forget their guy's name, always brings up the fact that Charles Barkley's texting him, whether or not he is or not. I think it's kind of funny how they really bring that into, and I don't know if that's kind of like a, nice little punch in the gut for the NBA that, one of your lead talk show guys, analysts, or whatever you want to call it, Charles, is really into the hockey series. So I just wanted to get your take on that, because obviously last year, we've seen Charles Barkley down in Nashville, and, he couldn't fake, he's not very emotional as it is. He doesn't, show a whole lot. So it was kind of cool. You can see that slight little bit of excitement coming from him down there in Nashville. What's your take on once kind of going to that, you take off into your baseball thing. But I wanted to see what, your thoughts on the playoffs so far. Charles Barkley's involvement, will he join the NHL? and then, of course, your fantasy lineup.
Yeah, well, sadly, to start where Dan started, I did not stay up to watch the end of the game. It just wasn't in the cards last night, but I did check it, right away to make sure who won and what happened and all that stuff. So I was very happy. As you know, I have Washington winning the Stanley Cup this season, finally, after all the frustration. Big hurdle. The big thing now is they have to make sure there's no letdown, because this is one of those things where this was their Stanley Cup type of thing. They can't get caught up in that. I mean, I know you hear that a lot in, football, the analogy used is, well, this was their Super Bowl, kind of thing. And they can't get caught up in that. They've got to be able to move on and take on, Tampa Bay, because, Tampa's a good team. They were in the finals just a few years ago against the Blackhawks. So it's going to be a big series, hopefully a good series. But yeah, sadly, like I said, I did not stay up to watch it. Hopefully the timing works out a little better and I can catch some more of the games now. Nashville got a big win last night, so they force a game seven. They get to come home, which should be, you would think, a huge advantage for them. You know, we'll just have to see. I mean, they really haven't taken advantage of it yet, you know, with this. And in hockey, it usually means a little more, but they're going to need it come tomorrow night. You know, the game's tomorrow night. It's the only spot we're waiting for. You know, the Golden Knights are sitting there in Vegas waiting to find out who they play and, you know, if they're going to Nashville or how it works out or if they're going to Winnipeg. So, you know, we'll have to maybe talk about that a little bit tomorrow, see if we can get some info on it and, you know, see what's going down there. But, you know, yeah, that was kind of it. But, yeah, like I said, now that Dan is off on his errand, here's my FanDuel lineup for tonight. And last night I got my head kicked in. I thought I had a pretty good lineup. I got off to a pretty decent start, and, man, it went downhill with the later games. I had another night where I didn't get to 100 points. So, yeah, you better be careful when you're following my advice. But here we go. I'm going with Aaron Nola tonight of the Phillies. He cost me $6,000. To tell you the truth, I wasn't enthralled with any of the pitching matchups. I almost went with Corey Kluber. But I something told me to grab Nola here, and I'm going to gonna go this route and see how it works out. The Giants seem to be scuffling on the road, which of course means tonight they'll score 10 runs. But I'm paying the $9,000. I'm going with Aaron Nola. My first base catcher spot is occupied by Ronald Guzman of the Texas Rangers. He only cost me $2,000. He's hitting eighth in their lineup tonight. You know, he was another one of those guys. I got a couple $2,000 guys in my lineup because I just think they're really undervalued and can have good nights for me. And that's kind of what you need to win here. You got to find these guys. So I'm going with Guzman in that slot. Again, just $2,000. He's hitting eighth. Second base, I have Jason Kipnis tonight of the Indians. He's hitting second for them. You know, his price tag has been down this year. It's $3,000 to plug Kipnis into your lineup. So I'm going that route, and I'm going to plug Kipnis in here and see what happens. Oh. Third base, I also spent $3,000. I put it down on Kyle Seager of the Mariners, who's hitting fifth for them tonight. You heard Dan and I talk about the Blue Jays starters' ERAs. I'm hoping Seager can capitalize on that before the bullpen gets in and, you know, can put up some numbers early. Shortstop, I paid a little here at shortstop. I went with Francisco Lindor for $4,700. He's leading off for the Indians. He's one of those guys who has the opportunity to be one of the higher scorers tonight. I won't be surprised to see him put up a 30-plus point night. You know, he's got a really good matchup against Wade Miley. You know, it just kind of things play in for him having a really good night, and I'm hoping I'm the recipient of it. We move into the outfield here, and I spent more money. I'm going with Mike Trout. It was $5,900, but he's in Colorado. He's hitting second for the Angels tonight. I doubled down on Trout. Not only is he in my lineup, but he's also in my home run derby lineup, which, as you know, he will always be in my home run derby lineup. So I get used to that. But, yeah, it's a big price tag on him. But, again, he's in Colorado. You would think Trout would thrive here. So I jumped on the Trout bandwagon, and we're going to go that route and see if it works out. Then I flopped down $2,900 on Michael Conforto, who's leading off for the Mets tonight. Again, they're in Cincinnati. You know, that game kind of exploded last night with the way things went. I believe Conforto was one of the guys who went yard or contributed too much to the Mets. So I'm hoping tonight is his night to jump on the bandwagon and get after it. And then I wrap up my outfield with Michael A. Taylor of the Nationals for $2,500. He's in the nine hole for the Nationals tonight. And again, you know, Just hoping for a good matchup here, you know, against the Padres. He looked like an undervalued guy at $2,500, who I think can produce. Oh, and then my utility slot, I didn't have much money left. I spent a lot of money on Nola, Lindor, and Trout, so I really kind of searched for value guys. I wrap up my utility spot with Jose Reyes of the Mets, who's hitting eighth for them tonight. Only cost me $2,000, and believe it or not, I actually spent all my money. I only had $2,000 left to spend on utility. So, you know, again, this is an iffy one. I'm not sure how this is going to go, but I like the ballpark configurations. I know Reyes really isn't a huge power guy, but I'm willing to take a shot here. You know, he's a switch hitter. Maybe he'll run into one, or maybe I'll get lucky. He'll just hit it inside the Parker. So I'm hoping I kind of stumble into something there, but that's the one. Everybody else I was confident in. Even Guzman at $2,000, but Reyes, I'm a little iffy here. And you know, you can't have room to be iffy. So I'm jumping on the bandwagon and hoping Reyes has a good night. So there you go. Here's the quick wrap up. Aaron Nola is my pitcher. I got Ron Guzman at first, Jason Kipnis at second, Kyle Seager at third, Francisco Lindor at short. My outfield has Mike Trout, Michael Conforto, and Michael A. Taylor. Yeah, I didn't realize that when I was putting it together until just now, but it's three Mikes. Yeah. And then my utility guy is Jose Reyes. So there you go. Good luck. I hope things work out for you. Home run derby, I mentioned to you, I'm going with Trout, going with Harper, going with Justin Bour. So there you go. There's your three guys to stay away from in home run derby tonight, because I'm telling you, they will not homer. Yeah, don't even try me. That's not going to happen tonight. So even with Trout in Colorado. But if he doesn't, I'm really going to eat it, because he's in my regular lineup as well. So we shall see. But, yeah, that's it. Hopefully things go well and I can actually win a dollar or something. So take that.
I'm going to win 200 with Mookie Betts, Mike Trout, and Bryce Harper.
Oh, yeah, you're done. You got Trout and Harper. Yeah, you ain't doing nothing. you might as well just go in and delete that lineup. That nothing's going to happen there. So, you know, I've warned everybody. That's how it's going to go. Stay away from Trout and Harper, because I'm using them every single day they're available. They're going to be in my home run derby lineup. So, yeah, everybody's been warned.
I'm so
you like Betts against Severino tonight, or did you like Betts against Severino, or did you just pluck that name out of a hat?
No, it was it's a huge roll of dice. I figured I'm doing the Trout and Harper thing again one more time. And I mean, with Severino and this series alone, I mean, it can either go where Mookie Betts hits five home runs, goes 5 for 5, or he goes 0 for 5. Against Severino. So, I mean, Severino's been pretty on this season so far, but his history kind of tells me that you never know what you're going to get sometimes with him. So it's you know, it's definitely his night to throw it in my face, I guess.
Yeah, he, you know, he's hot and cold, like, you know, sadly a lot of pitchers are.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of, you know, just seems to be the way things go right now.
And that's where I'm rolling the dice on it is, you know, he's been pretty hot. So, you know, with this series, maybe the pressure, you know, being an MLB showcase with Bob Costas, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. You know, I mean, weirder things have happened, right?
Yeah. And I figured I'd go your route with the Trout Harper stuff. I thought that'd be fun. Maybe a double negative.
I'm telling you, that's just how it
positive.
Works. Yeah, they better hope for something, because, you know, I know a lot of people pick them on a daily basis, and, you know, I know I'm ruining it for everybody, but, you know, you people are going to have to learn. Sorry. That's just how it goes.
Yeah. I mean, it's just so hard. Like I mentioned, I don't know if we talked about this on air or this was just before we, you know, the pregame meeting, pre-show meeting. You know, that's very detailed. But,
like,
you know, I picked Rhys Hoskins. Yeah, I picked Rhys Hoskins from the Phillies last night, a team that won 11-0. And, oh, I don't even know how the hell you say his name. I've got to check with the Phillies and Baseball Reference. But Odubel Herrera, Odubel, as everyone's been saying lately, Odubel Herrera hit 2 home runs. And
yeah.
I think even Cesar Hernandez may have hit 2. I know he hit 1.
Adrian Gonzalez hit 2 last night.
Oh, geez, there you go. You know, I mean, it's the guys that you're not thinking about that are hitting, you know, multiple home runs a night.
Well, speaking of that, Dan, it looks like you and I are already off to a bad start. It's the first inning in Baltimore. The Royals are winning 7-0. Alex Gordon, Salvador Perez, Mike Moustakas, and Jorge Soler have all already homered for the Royals in the top of the first.
Wow.
So there you go.
You know, and I don't know if you have his numbers in front of you, but is Soler finally starting to get it together? You know, he's not a highlight guy every night, but
considering he is on one of my fantasy teams, I did take him with like my last pick. He is doing much better this season than he has. But on the plus side, he's healthy.
Yeah.
You know, last year it was, you know, injury after injury. But here I can tell you, so far this year he's hitting .308 with 4 bombs and 12 RBIs.
I like the batting average. So, would like to see, well, you know, of course we'd always like to see the home runs up, but, you know, I guess not bad numbers
well,
for the month
remember,
of April.
Remember, he plays 81 games in Kansas City, too, so I don't know how those home run numbers are actually going to react. I know it's not as bad as it used to be, but it's still one of the tougher parks to homer in. So we'll have to see how those go.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. I mean, we'd all like to see everyone with inflated home run numbers. I think the only thing I would much rather see, but I know they don't count or don't matter anymore, but a higher RBI total. But, you know, I mean, that also depends on who's batting in front of you and if they're getting on base. But, I think a great fresh start for him is being able to bat .308 a month into the game, where I don't think there's a Chicago Cub that's hitting .300.
That's okay. I heard a guy today, Dan, say we need to get rid of the air. Or not so much get rid of it, but make it a lot tougher to assess errors.
What? I can't even speak. How do you do that?
I don't know. I turned it off. I couldn't deal with it. The minute he opened with that sentence, I turned it off. I couldn't even listen. It's just the way it is now. They want to do away with every stat that's ever been about baseball. Batting average don't matter, runs don't matter, strikeouts don't matter. Now we're going to get rid of errors?
Yeah. Well, you know, and the funny thing is batting average doesn't matter, but if you get rid of errors, then the batting average initially goes up.
Right.
Because you have an extra at bat. You know, that would be like considering making a sacrifice be considered when it's not.
Yeah.
To give a guy an extra at bat or consider it a hit. I don't know. That, I mean, that's the dumbest thing because there are instances where, you know, it is questionable, but I mean, you really can't take away from the error. The guy commits an error. It's not a hit. It's as simple as that.
I understood. I didn't get what the hell he was talking about. Like I said, the minute he said it, it was time for me to move on. I was like, okay, I'm done here. I don't even want to know what he's proposing, how he's proposing it. I'm going away because I can't deal with anymore. It's too much. So.
Look at that, huh?
Yeah. Hey, we'll be back tomorrow at 5:30 to try this all again. While we're gone, though, sportstimeradio.com, look for that new blog going up tomorrow morning. Link over to the Facebook page and give that a like. Also, remember the Twitter feed, which is @SportsTimeRadio. Feel free to hunt Dan and I down on Twitter as well. We don't mind being stalked. It's kind of cool for us. As always, though, big thanks for listening live. But, hey, remember, all you got to do is go over to TuneIn.com. You can listen to the podcast anytime you want.
SportsTimeRadio.com.